So we'll talk about where you're going here in a few minutes, but let's talk medical issues, shall we?
That's a great idea.
It's been a long time since we've talked.
Yes.
You know, and I brought up this topic for you a couple of weeks ago, and you say, well, I'm going to be gone for a while. But this is happening all over the country. Measles cases are on the upswing here. First off, tell me what measles is.
Well, so measles is a virus.
What happens to you, one who has the measles?
Well, you develop, it's kind of one of those childhood diseases, fever, aches.
Right now that sounds like the
constitutional
flu, though.
Well, I mean, the symptoms are similar.
It's no markings. As a kid, I thought measles
chicken pox
were almost the same thing. That's not the case.
No.
See, I never had measles.
You sure?
No.
You might have. Well, and you may have had the vaccine. We had the vaccine when we were kids.
I had
so
the chicken pox.
I remember I had to get a booster in college because there was a concern that some of the vaccines that we were given as children were not effective.
So this measles was pretty much wiped out. Am I
right?
Well,
almost. But you still have sort of a worldwide presence. And so with the modern transience of the population, where you have a lot of international travel and people coming into the country, so it's probably never going to be completely wiped out. But in the U.S., it was certainly not very prevalent. In fact, even this rise of measles is still only less than 2 per million population.
Yeah, and
so when you double something that's incredibly low in frequency, it's still a low number, but the trend is disturbing, and the etiology or the reason is that people are not vaccinating their children.
Yeah, 70% of the people who got measles not vaccinated. In Illinois, there were 68 cases a couple of weeks ago. I don't know whether that's up or down now.
So the peak was in, I think, 2014 from my reading. But it's just a trend. It's an upward trend.
So how do I know? You asked me a question. Have you had the measles?
I don't think so.
We don't think so.
Yeah.
You
know,
so do
but
we,
you've been vaccinated. Because
how
it was
do I
part
know
of,
this?
Well, it was part of the – you couldn't come to school.
Okay.
Yeah, you couldn't come to a school.
Was
if
back
you didn't
in the 60s?
60s and 70s, all the way through the 80s.
All right.
Yeah. So we've all been vaccinated.
But you got a booster in college.
Yeah. There was just a concern that there was an outbreak, and it was probably on a college campus somewhere. And so they thought, well, maybe there was – maybe in the 60s or early 70s there might have been a batch that was not effective. So they thought, well, let's just give everybody a booster. So I can remember going to the student health center and, you walk in, boom.
Now, do I need a booster?
Probably not, because it's typically a lifetime immunity.
It's contagious, though, too.
Right? It's very contagious. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I get the
it's one of those childhood diseases. I mean, it's
the flu-like symptoms. But how long does it last?
A couple weeks. A week, maybe.
But that's how long the flu lasts, right?
The influenza virus is really active for just a few days.
Well, here's my question. Somebody's listening right now. Oh, my God, I think I have the measles.
No.
How do you know?
Unless
you go to the doctor, you're thinking you have the flu.
Right. And a lot of times your healthy immune system you'll recover. But why be susceptible? I mean, why be at risk? Plus, if you do, you can spread it before you know you have it to other susceptible people. So it's we've talked about this before. It's this concept of herd immunity, where the more you vaccinate, the more you protect the entire herd.
All right.
So get the vaccination. I should say parents vaccinate your children.
Right. But there are always going to be.
It's really hard to break through a small faction of anti-vaccine people.
Right. Here's something you can avoid. Do you have pets?
We do not.
No? Never had a dog?
We have had. It turns out I'm not a very good dog owner.
No? Is that because you don't like to touch them?
Well,
Was your dog living in a bubble?
In the one of those crates. It didn't go well for me or the dog.
Who's a good boy?
Yeah, no.
Who's
I would,
a good boy? Give me kisses on the mouth.
No, but
give
no.
me kisses
oh,
on
oh,
the mouth.
Please, no. No.
Well,
I mean, I couldn't, you know, it's a bright, sunny day, morning. I'm out there with the dog at 5 a.m., and there's dew everywhere. So the dog comes back. He's, you know, it's wet. It's like he's been in a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
So then I gotta clean that up. I got to dry him off. And then you get that wet dog smell. Ugh.
How about cats?
No. No, please, no.
All right. Well, how about a good case of Campylobacter bacteria?
Yeah, I saw that.
Infecting people. They're calling it the puppy poop infection. There's got to be a medical term.
Which is awesome, I think, because and you can look at some of those people that, you know, consider their pets their children.
All right. Now this
and you
is,
say, well, you're going to get puppy poop infection.
This is
and honestly, perhaps you deserve it at that.
So what is it? What's happening? And there's only I have 55 people in 12 states. Really, does this warrant a headline?
Yeah, probably not, except that they identified the point source to a business, this Petland, which I don't think we have here.
No,
we have Petco.
We were talking about that.
But, and 14 of the employees actually contracted it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so that's bad.
I don't want to talk about the symptoms.
Not enough Purell in Petland,
yeah.
I think. But it's basically a bacteria that humans do get. I mean, you can get it from undercooked poultry or raw vegetables that aren't washed properly. So it's present, it's easily treatable. In fact, most of the time, you can treat it with antibiotics, but most of the time it's just supportive treatment, and the body handles it within 5 to 7 days. So, but it's a really it's nasty. You just feel terrible, and
I'm
the main symptom is diarrhea.
Oh, see,
oh sorry.
I wasn't going to talk about the
diarrhea, fever, cramping, abdominal cramps. I mean, it's a miserable thing. It's short lived, but it's miserable. So why not prevent it?
Yeah, stay away from that and the salad bar at Western and Sizzler. You'll be all right. It sounds about the same. I love the Western.
I am not going to compare. Salad bar.
All right, real quick here, because we're onto this. I saw this diseases you can get from your pet. You can get salmonella.
Yes. Yeah. You can get roundworm from your pets. Same transmission.
Roundworm?
Well, it's a parasitic infection.
Is it
in the GI tract?
Oh, my goodness.
We used to see it at Cook County Hospital.
Good way to lose weight, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Not it's an effective way. I don't know if it's a good way.
All right, what's the difference between that and a tapeworm?
Well, a tapeworm is usually a single organism. Roundworm is, an infestation. But a tapeworm keeps growing as you sort of feed it.
Ringworm.
Ringworm is different, yeah. Ringworm is more of a fungus.
You can get, stems from a fungal infection on the skin. You can get the infection from swimming and locker rooms.
Oh, yeah.
As well as infected pets.
Where are your flip-flops?
Cat scratch fever.
Yeah.
Cat scratch disease. That's a real thing.
That's
a
thing.
It was a Ted Nugent song. No, that's all.
Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah.
How do you get that?
Well, it's a unidentified, as yet, probably bacterium that is present under the nails of cats.
Yeah, cats carry it.
But they haven't identified it, and it's sort of a lymphatic infection.
Yeah, Ted Nugent's talking about something else. It's
okay.
Totally different.
Toxoplasmosis?
That can be a bad one.
Well, how do you get that?
That's a fungus, too. Usually that's spores.
Oh.
So that you inhale spores, and
I
have a friend that had a bad infection with that.
The dander of a dog or a cat? Is that how
you can, but, I mean, it's mostly airborne.
And, of course, rabies. You can get rabies.
Ooh, yeah. From an infected animal, from the bite of an infected animal.
All right. Well, this is going to be your last visit for a while.
For a while, yes, it is.
Because if you haven't heard Dr. John Whelan, join the Navy.
Hi, I'm Judith Light.
Oh, no, that's not it. That's not
I have no relationship to Judith Light.
Here we go. Do you know the words?
Oh, yeah. You have to. I had to sing it.
All right, so take us back to ground zero on this one. Here you are. You've got a practice in Bloomington Normal. And you're doing okay. You're doing okay for yourself.
Yeah.
I've seen the house. You're doing fine. And what brought you to this? Joining the Navy.
So there's the Navy, in fact, the Armed Forces have critical shortages in certain medical specialties, and my specialty, general surgery, is one of them. And so there was a campaign. It started out just with a letter saying, we need your help. And so I read it, I researched it, and I've always wanted to serve. So this is my opportunity. A last ditch.
And you?
They must be pretty desperate take somebody this old.
And here you are. You're younger than me, right?
Barely. Okay. Yeah, barely.
So still have kids at home.
I do. Yeah.
All right. How many are at home?
Three.
All right. And then your saint wife.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You had a conversation with her.
I did.
And how did that start out? Hey, I'm thinking about.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And she is very wise. And she said, I saw that letter laying on in your pile for several weeks. So she knew it was coming. And the kids have been very understanding, too.
Wow. So.
Yeah, the older kids think it's kind of cool.
Now, I know there are some questions. Yeah. I know there are some questions that you can answer. So, and if you can't, that's fine. Just say so. But you're shipping out soon.
Very soon, yes.
All right. Can you point on a map where you're going, or can you not say?
Well, an operational security standpoint, it's drilled into us that we don't disclose any specific locations or timelines or troop strengths and things like that. So I will be I'm in the medical corps, so I'm in the Navy Medical Corps. And I think typically I'm a reservist, so most reservists when they deploy, they do land-based missions and not on a ship.
That's what I was going to ask that question.
The ship deployments are, the at-sea deployments are longer. So those are usually, and they're more flexible, so those are usually active duty.
So can you say how long you'll be gone?
Well, I'll be gone for several months, so into next spring, summer.
All right.
So.
And are you having second doubts now?
Well, I've told people I keep waiting for that little voice in my head to say this was a horrible idea. And it hasn't spoken up yet.
So you're gone for several months. You won't come home.
No.
For
no.
several months. So you're going to miss the holidays.
Yeah, that's going to be tough, especially for the younger kids at home.
But
I'll have Wi-Fi. I'll be able to communicate with my family.
I was going to say, nowadays, can you Skype? Can you?
Yeah, I think there's different ways to communicate. And the military knows that it's important to keep their members in touch with their families when it's possible. Because it helps your performance. It helps your morale.
And do you know how to to build a still? I'm going back to the MASH. Do you know how to build a still?
I do not. There will be no still building.
Was it gin they were doing?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Trapper Gin? No, that was I don't know if that ever happened historically, but I know for a fact that that will not happen.
Is that a TV show that you watched regularly?
Oh, I saw every episode.
So, yeah, you come back. I want to hear some stories.
No doubt we'll have a few.
So
everybody does.
Your military experience, what will you do to – you've already done some prep.
Yes.
I mean, you've
– Yeah,
there's
been quite a bit of prep still more to come.
So they're going to – your first – how many – are you going to go like a basic training or
– No. So in my area, so I'm more geared toward my specialty. So I already have the vast majority of the on-the-job training that I'm going to need, I already have through my career. But I need to know how to be in the military, so I need Navy training.
And this is a whole new ball game because you're removing gallbladders and appendix.
Yes.
But I
am a trauma surgeon.
Yes, so because you had experience in Chicago.
Well, yeah. And even throughout the last 25 years, somebody gets in a really bad car accident, They call one of the general surgeons in town. That's what we do.
All right. Well, we wish you the best of luck.
Well,
you know,
thank you.
I don't have time. I was going to ask you your take on the situation in Las Vegas and how all those hospitals handled that.
Certainly something you're
probably familiar with.
The main surgeon that I saw him interviewed on CNN a few times. He's the chairman of the or the director of the trauma unit at the biggest hospital there where most of the victims were taken. Is a good friend of mine and trained at County. Trained at Cook County when we were there together. He was a year ahead of me.
So
yeah. So
is there any better place to train for war than Cook County?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of places in this country, unfortunately, that have that type of experience with inner city trauma. So.
All right. Well, I'd salute you, but I'd do it wrong. I sincerely wish you the best.
Thank you.
Thank you for serving, and we'll see you in a few months.
Very good.
Several
I look
months,
forward to it.
All right. He's not Dr. John Whelan anymore. He's Lieutenant Commander Whelan.